You could have had another kind of another two film. I'd have watched more of that, but instead we get
Sarah Connor with no pubes.
All right, welcome back to Meat for the Beast, episode 14. You're here with me, McVee, and my partner in crime, Jim C.
Yeah, how the hell are you?
I'm all right, how are you?
Good, good. So I've been punctual at the minute.
Yeah.
The last pod went out today.
I know.
And McVee's made the trip over.
Yeah, back to the homelands. Back to my roots.
So what lies ahead this weekend?
Drink some beer, cut loose.
Yeah.
And taking the fine sights of Manchester.
Good stuff, good stuff.
Yeah.
And you're meeting the prodigal son,
Martin. Yeah,
Martin.
Yeah, I'm going to hook up with a friend of the show, Martin.
Yeah.
Ask him why he's been less than interactive of late.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
He's getting bored. Maybe, in fact, no one's listening to this whatsoever. But we'll find out. These are things we can uncover.
Yeah, no, we need answers. We need answers.
And yeah, and reasons. Damn it. Feedback, if anything, actually feedback, how we can improve. We're not going to get better if we don't know what we're doing wrong.
So what would class as a good night on the town in Manchester for any non-man listeners that might want to visit the town?
Getting leathered in the Northern Quarter, having a kebab, I'm passing out. I don't know. I don't know. It's just nice to be back.
So, what's that? Cosmonaut or something?
Cosmonaut, yeah. They're shy a couple of glasses after my last visit. yeah, overpriced. Well, it wasn't overpriced. I think we'd had an overpriced night and Cosmonaut was the last port of call.
Yeah.
So, fuck it, we're taking these glasses. They were nice goblety things. They were good.
Much as I like the Northern Quarter, it's fucking expensive. Because, like, me and my mate Martin Greaves, he's like, two Martins often interact with us, aren't there? And,
it's interesting. Everyone knows a Martin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The two Martins, like the two Jakes. Yeah, we went to what's it called, Port Street Ale Bar or something. I don't know. And like what would have been a 20 quid night out a few years ago was like nearly a 50 quid night out. Like we both wrote like, the following day off. it was we must have been on the good stuff.
Can't afford to leave my house.
Yeah. Port Street Ale House, that was it. And it's right near Piccadilly, if anyone's got a thirst before the train ride.
I went in a nice gaff. It's on the corner of some street and Dale Street, and it's called something and Dale. That was alright.
Chip and Dale?
Might as well be. Chip and Dale. Rescue Rangers themed bar.
I do like, there's one called Bar Fringe, often has my beer pumps on the bar.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, often go in there just to check my ego.
What are those beer pumps, Jim? Obviously, you can't name the brands because other beers are available and all. But
do a lot of beers for Kelham Island Brewery.
That's Kelham Island Brewery.
Yeah, they've all been a good drink from my experience. Although the problem is that. Because when they first started coming out, I made a special effort to find them being over here, and because most pubs will buy like a barrel or two,
yeah,
put it on for the weekend, and then because it's got a bit of a funky clip, it just like it gets drunk dead quick,
yeah,
and so it'll be on their website, and then I'll show up cocking hand. I did like, you know, like J.R. Hartley advert. A couple of years ago I did a sort of a J.R. Hartley, went around a bunch of pubs and rang some up. And
not looking for this beer.
Just trying to track these beers down. And eventually just had to give up. Just accept that I was never gonna find them all. And the funny thing was they all had stupid names, like I had to ring up these old men boozers asking for like Dunkel Devastator. And fucking Mistress Flames. Just, hey? What the fuck are you on about? You put me on to Kung Fury.
Kung Fury, yeah. This was pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
As I gather, it was is he Swedish?
Yeah, right. I think
it's
possibly.
It's got
Thor in it.
I'll say Swedish.
Isn't Thor Danish, though? That's saying different,
maybe,
isn't it?
Maybe he's Danish.
Apologies to our Danish and Swedish listeners. I'm sure we've got loads of them.
So Kung Fury, yeah. A kind of teaser trailer and emerged a couple of years back, and it was a Kickstarter project for this Swedish filmmaker, David Sandberg, who stars in it and does everything in it, really. The entire thing's frigging green screen.
Is he Kung Fury?
He's Kung Fury, yeah.
Holy shit.
And it's quite great. There's loads of making of stuff on YouTube to show you how they did it, and it's mental. Like I said, most of it's green screen. It's insane. But basically, it took off really well because of the insanity of the trailer. And they needed like something like, I don't know, $500,000. No, hang on. What is it? They wanted. They wanted $200,000, and they ended up with three times that.
Holy shit!
Just based on the little trailer, which has allowed them to make this half-hour thing, which has now had millions of hits on YouTube, and it's right entertaining.
Yeah.
It's a stupid time travel martial arts comedy.
I thought it shot on the last Machete film I saw. Terrain, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. I think that's fair.
Right.
Very funny. And even fucking Hasselhoff rocking up. One of the Lonely Island playing Hitler, Kung Fuhrer. I think
that's a fucking low blow.
I think it's decent. I think it tries to. I think if anyone's aware of Kung Fury by now, they've seen it. I think for me, it's pretty much spot on in terms of what it does. But I think that Triceracop element. Was just a bit. It was like, oh, that's quite amusing, but he doesn't actually do anything.
Isn't that a comic character? It sounds really familiar.
You're thinking
Triceracop.
I think you're thinking of Axe Cop, who has a Tyrannosaurus with machine gun arms as his mate.
Yeah, maybe I'm getting mixed up.
Maybe I don't know. Axe Cop also very good. But Kung Fury. It was a hoot. I watched it whilst hungover, and I thought, yeah, this is good. This is good stuff, and it's got a quality synth wave soundtrack.
Yeah, I did notice the soundtrack. I liked it where he gets hacked back in time as well.
Yeah,
some sexy looking vectors.
Oh yeah,
and like 8-bit graphics.
Yeah, isn't like a Nintendo Power Glove getting dusted down? Hacker man sending him there. No, it's decent. It's very decent. And I think it's been so successful. I won't be surprised if there's a feature film. In the offing,
I can imagine. Yeah, I spotted there was a music video with Hasselhoff on it as well.
Yeah, he's done the proper tune for it.
Yeah, fucking A.
Good work. Yeah. Hasselhoff will do out though.
So. Good choice.
Yeah,
I once tried to grow, like when I was a teenager, I tried to grow Mel Gibson's hairstyle from Lethal Weapon 3.
Ooh,
I ended up looking like
from Lethal Weapon 3. Should have gone with 1.
Yeah, well, I get wavy hair. It looks really good. I don't know anymore.
I can't picture you with hair longer than you've got now.
It just ended up this really shit mullet, and it looked like a Knight Rider on a shit hair day. Accused of looking like Hasselhoff, I gave up any hopes of having long hair.
If any friends of Jim who are listening have photographic evidence of this, please send it in. Post it on the Meet for the Beast page. I'd like to see Jim with hair longer than half a centimetre.
I've got another one.
What have you got?
It's Netflix again. We're Netflix fans, aren't we? Kind of.
If only they'd give us some cash. Yeah. We could do this properly.
Well, it's one called Parallels, which it had a really good rating on Netflix, so I thought, oh, I'll give this shit a go.
Don't go by the rating. People haven't got a fucking clue.
I know. It was billed as a film, but it was more like a pilot for a shit TV show.
Was it?
It's kind of a time travel, not really time travel, more interdimensional travel.
So Sliders, which was done years ago,
kind of, and
had Carrie Wuerer in it. It was lovely.
One interesting, like, because they go to this building which keeps taking them to different alternate realities.
Right.
And one good bit was they go to one reality where technology is way more advanced, and things like if you want to buy, they want to go and buy some food, and someone buys this weird sandwich from this van, and to pay for it, you just put your hand on a pad.
Right.
I actually thought that's a really good idea. You know what I mean? He's not to fuck around with a card anymore. It seems like we're getting to that point.
Well, do you see
it?
that fucking dude in London who stitched his Oyster card into his skin? It might have been, I don't know if it was a hoax, but I think he was sick of the time he was spending faffing about with a card. So he cut open his somewhere on his hand or his wrist, and he got it implanted. He got like the actual chip from the Oyster card implanted under his skin. So now he just waves his hand over it. I suppose so. But
and he can top it up online or something.
I guess so.
Shit.
What happens when they change the fucking technology though?
Yeah, what happens when...
New cards getting rolled out. Yeah. Dickhead. what's the point of parallels? Like, what's the... Like, they can go into this building to go to another dimension. Like, in the TV show Sliders, it was kind of like Quantum Leap in that they were trying to get home.
Yeah, it was... nothing was really explained. I said, because it was about an hour and 40 minutes, so I thought, well, there'll be some resolution in here. And then it gets to the end, and there's just a load of unanswered questions. And you're like, oh, fuck, was that really a film? Or
maybe it is.
Just a TV show that didn't happen.
Because there's... I watched a thing called Residue recently, which it said series one in three parts.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. But as I was watching it, I started having a look, and all I could find online was that it was a film starring the... two folks from Game of Thrones, Ramsay Snow, the guy who you've seen Game of Thrones.
No, but I know some of the actors though.
This dickhead, he's horrible. Someone else who played Tonks in Harry Potter. Anyway, and it's set in a sort of
good film, that Harry Potter. Watching all 11 with them, with Melissa.
I think
I'd rather had a fucking hot.
Third one's good.
Hot poker on my ass.
Third one's good. back on topic.
Yeah,
Residue.
Yeah.
Essentially, it's New Year's Eve in the near future, and a bomb or an explosion has happened in a city, and it's left the city centre a bit fucked, and it needs to be quarantined. But why has it been quarantined? So she's a photographic journalist going in. There's a copper who's on the booze because his sister got blown up in it or whatever. And it's quite an interesting tale, and by the time you get through the end of episode 3, you realise, where's the fucking rest of it?
And it's
apparently going to be, that was essentially the pilot episode span out over 3. And now there's, but by the time you got to the end of it, I was like, oh, this is bollocks, I don't care anymore, I wanted resolution. But it was alright, but it was interesting because it was shot in Leeds. Because there's loads of bit in, I don't know what it's called, like there's a fancy shopping area near where they've got Laura Ashley and stuff, lovely ornate shopping arcades.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
That was used to quite an extent.
Yeah, bits of Leeds are actually pretty nice, aren't they?
Yeah. And there's a lot of Manx and Northerners in it. It's not like the first episode, you'll watch it and you'll think this is alright, but by the third one you're like, fuck off.
One's got barred from the Skyrack in Leeds.
What's the Skyrack?
Some shit pub. It was just a rowdy time. I've moved on from then. I'll cut that out. Okay. I talked about getting into animations to try and wean my baby off Frozen. And I got Laputa for Father's Day, which is the first Studio Ghibli feature from 1986. I mean, what a year that must have been in Japan. It's like Laputa and Akira in one year.
Bloody hell.
And probably also Appleseed, which was alright, I recall. I was thinking about, have you ever seen the first Appleseed?
No.
It's a bit fucked up because there's these kind of terrorist bad guys doing fucked up stuff all the way through it, and at the end they justify their actions by saying, well, this utopia is created against people's will to make them enjoy life, and I think they may be forced, kind of without knowing it, like genetically modified to have more kind of what's the phrase, the stuff in your brain that makes you feel good, that bananas give you, serotonin, or
right.
And it's not making its case for why it's okay to just blow up normal people and stuff.
Yeah,
I might have missed.
Bananas make you feel good. I've never had a banana and felt good.
Well, apparently they've got loads of something that like stimulates serotonin.
Is that right?
Yeah. So if you cane the bananas, it's supposed to make you feel like, you know, it's kind of an antidepressant sort of thing. That's the word on the street.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, but I watched Laputa and actually decided it was way too violent for Roisin because it's full of death. You forget when something's a bit cute in Japanese, you forget it's also full of dark shit.
How about My Neighbour Totoro? That'd be right up the street, surely.
I've not seen it.
Have you not? Good. Oh, good. Mate, yeah. I'll fling it over.
Oh, cool.
It's lovely. It's bloody lovely. This guy moves to a house with his two daughters, and there's an older daughter, a younger daughter. Younger daughter's playing in the woods. Finds some forest folk, not forest folk. It's been years since I've seen it, but there's the Totoro himself, the main one. You'll recognise him. It's like a fusion of a fucking rabbit and a cat thing. It's an iconic classic.
Sweet, right.
It's really good. It's really charming, and it's not schmaltzy, but it's just lovely.
Sounds good.
I'll hook you up.
Sounds good. And they've got a new one coming out called Princess Kaguya.
Okay.
It's quite a loose looking, almost like children's book style, and the Western version's voiced by Chloe Moretz, is it?
Plays right.
Hit Girl, which leads us into our next our next
segue.
Bit of news.
No one segues like the Beast.
Good news and bad news was concerning Kick-Ass.
Alright,
so I did a double bill again recently because I was left on my own for a few days. Decided to get the double bill and had a lot of fun rewatching them both. I think the second one perhaps lacks a bit of the magic of the first, but it's definitely got its moments.
Okay.
You know, especially Jim Carrey's ace.
I forgot he was in it.
He totally disowned it afterwards, apparently.
Yeah.
For some weird reason.
The violence?
Didn't know what he was expecting.
I don't know.
It's like, it's surely seen the first film and read the book.
Yeah.
And
also, he was acting in it. Presumably being violent.
Yeah. Don't know what that was about. But, well, Hit Girl's quoted as saying, well, Chloe Moretz basically said it was the most pirated film that year.
Okay.
Which was kind of nice in the way that people wanted to see it, but it meant that they won't get a third Kick-Ass film, which is pretty sad.
Yeah.
But she recently also said they're going to do it's looking like they're going to do a Hit Girl film.
Right.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
Because she was the best thing about it anyway, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Apart from Big Daddy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, to be fair.
Yeah, actually, Nicolas Cage, have you seen all this stuff about him being, you know, the Superman film he was going to be in that didn't go through?
Yeah, I'm very excited about that.
Yeah.
The Death of Superman Lives?
Sounds. They actually gave us a like on the Facebook page.
Did they?
Yeah, because I shared one of the. Someone did a cool picture of Nick Cage.
Yes.
And they gave us a like, so about time.
Oh, good lads. Shout out to the Death of Superman Lives.
Fucking A.
Did you read the script, the Kevin Smith script that he wrote when Tim Burton was going to do it?
Just seen him talking about it, really.
I remember it in my early days of the internet, and I got wind of this. I tracked it down.
I might still have it.
Yeah. It's fucking mental. It was good. It was like the, you know, the Death of Superman and all, and the Fire of Doom thing and whatnot.
Yeah.
But he had some weird kind of little robot helper who was on the ship.
Right.
And there was some ways of, have you seen An Audience with Kevin Smith?
I've seen one from the 90s.
There's one where he tells a story about him working on that.
Right.
And it was produced by it was produced by John Peters, who he used to be, he produced Batman with one of his dudes. Apparently he used to be a hairdresser, but has a I don't know,
he looks like a hairdresser. Got a good head of hair on him. Not unlike yourself.
Oh, thank you. Unlike John Peters, I'm not obsessed with spiders. And that he told Kevin Smith that Superman's got to be fighting some sort of spider thing at the end of this.
Yeah.
And he's like, what the fuck are you on about? There's no spiders. And he said, well, put one in. And he did, and he kind of shoehorned it in somehow. I can't remember. It might have been some Thanagarian snare fucking spider or whatever. And obviously Superman Lives fell apart. The year later, Wild Wild West came out, where Kenneth Branagh is driving a fucking spider, also produced by John Peters. I thought that was
a spider, though.
Yeah, that was an interesting tale. Interesting. But yeah, I'm very excited about The Death of Superman Lives.
Yeah, everything I'm seeing from it looks fucking ace.
Mm.
Like, it looks like a lot of it maybe in form The Matrix. It's very Matrix looking. It all looks a bit just like Jeff Darrow sort of artwork.
Yeah.
Kind of intricate sort of black and green kind of look to it.
I think I really like that because it was like mid to late 90s, wasn't it? That.
Yeah, yeah.
Around the same time, they were talking of a Spider-Man film with James Cameron at the helm.
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
And that could have been so fucking ace. I remember talking about that at university with people, and like, yeah, Spider-Man by James Cameron would be ace. Let's get Jason Lee to play Spider-Man. We're like, yeah, it'd be fucking brilliant. but no, none of it came to pass. And instead, we're on our fucking third Spider-Man now, who's just been cast, Tom Holland. And it's going to focus. Apparently, one of the main inspirations for the new Spider-Man is fucking the films of John Hughes. In terms of
really?
Yeah, so it's going to be like high school drama.
You know what? That could actually work.
It could work. It'd be a different take, and be right. But why do we have to have Peter Parker? Why can't we get
Miles Morales?
There you go.
Yeah. You know what? Fuck Peter Parker. He's fucking a fucking pusshole. He fucking is. He's a dick. It's fucking shit. Like, obviously, I read Spidey as a little kid, and was before I understood all relationship bullshit. Spidey in the fucking laundromat chatting up some chick and getting blown off or whatever.
I don't think he was getting blown off.
No, I mean, as in she walked away. But I don't know what.
It wasn't getting sucked off.
No. And like, by the time I was actually reading these comics and understanding them, he was in the black suit and a bit more badass, a bit more Batman.
Yeah.
And like, the Black Cat wanted to fuck him and he didn't care for some reason. I don't know why. She's best looking chick out of all these various women.
Word.
You'd think it's a no-brainer, really, wouldn't you? Why you already hang out with some model that doesn't give a fuck about him?
Yeah.
And he could be banging the Black Cat.
Exactly.
So that was my Spidey. Like, the black suit Spidey was a bit more badass and cool.
Right.
And then he kind of came and went, and then he went back to the red and blue and just became a fucking dick again. And I don't know. Just Parker's a bit of a bell end, really, isn't he?
I think he's a cocky wise ass. He's too cocky for my liking. I don't like wisecracks are good. Fuck you, Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think we should put Peter Parker on the shit list.
Let's put him in the shit list. I have no issue with that at all.
Yeah,
that was a shit slap.
Fuck you, Parker.
Fuck you, Parker.
And props to Miles Morales.
Yeah,
for not being a little pusshole. For not having women's issues or what, you know. Not, he's not got women's issues, but issues with women.
Issues with women, yeah.
Morales got a cooler suit as well.
Exactly.
Morales got silver toes.
Morales.
Who's on the shit list now then? So we've got Alex Ross.
Alex Ross.
Stephen Hawking.
Akiva Goldsman.
Akiva Goldsman.
Jai Courtney. Who did you stick in last time?
Andy Serkis. No, Peter Parker,
a fictional character this time.
Yeah, fuck you, Parker. did you see the last Spider-Man film?
No, we didn't. I heard it was shit.
Mate, fucking
I just read one liner in a review that said this film has been made by people who don't understand how electricity works. And I just can't be arsed.
I think the most frustrating thing is that the first 5 or 10 minutes were actually probably the best live action Spidey I've ever seen.
Right,
it's a really great start. There was some bullshit in a plane with his dad that no one gives a fuck about, but the actual Spidey bit, it's like it starts where Spidey's just falling from a great height,
yeah,
and then obviously does some Spider-Man shit as he, before he hits the ground, and I don't know, it's just really well done, and then suddenly he just becomes this little wimp again,
right,
crying over a girl.
Well, he's sensitive. He's heartbroken or whatever, I don't know. Is this the one where he kind of doesn't he get it on with Is he with Gwen Stacy or he's with Mary Jane and he gets it on with him? He's on with one and gets it on with the other.
Deal with Gwen.
Right.
Yeah. He fucks it up. Fucking dickhead.
Right.
Just you'd fuck that up.
Dickhead.
If you were going out with, what's her name? Emma Stone. Fucking hell, I wouldn't screw that one up, personally. So I would ruin it.
Hang on. Who plays. So he's with Gwen Stacy.
Yeah.
Played by Emma Stone.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't think
Mary Jane's in it.
All right.
She was going to be in it, and I don't think she was. It was so shit, I cannot even remember it, mate.
Right. I'm getting confused here. Going back to the Tobey Maguire Spideys, wasn't Gwen Stacy in Spider-Man 3? Played by Bryce Dallas.
She was briefly in it when he's doing his tap dance.
Yeah. emo. That's like the best element of any Spider-Man film. Like, I fucking hate that so much. Puts on a bit of eyeliner. Oh.
tell you what,
dreadful.
I know this is really fucking stupid, right? We're debating this sort of thing, but you know, like Spider-Man's holding down this dog shit job at a newspaper and he lives in a shithole, which, to be honest, if he was living in New York, it'd be costing him a fortune though, wouldn't it? So he probably wouldn't be able to afford it.
Yeah, true.
On a photographer salary. But if he had those spider powers, right, if you woke up tomorrow and you were Spider-Man,
yeah,
would you get some job at a newspaper taking photos of yourself with a fucking Pentax that would never actually...
No.
There's no way that would work anyway, but what, like, if it... What I would do is I'd get some sort of, I'd hunt around and get some sort of weird agent, and I'd like get people like Richard Branson, charge them like $2 million to go on like Spider-Man tour of New York or something, just like flying, doing like the Spidey shit, because like who else could do that for them?
Yeah,
and they'd fucking pay it happily, wouldn't they? It'd probably,
you'd have to get some zoning permits and clearance with the local councils and stuff. So yeah, you can't just willy nilly wield a.
Yeah, but you probably have to take 10 fat guys around New York. Probably spend a week giving you know, the rich guy tours.
Yeah,
and then you've got like millions in your bank. You know, you're gonna have to sort this agent out, and he's got to do it on the sly, so people don't know who you are.
I'd probably just turn into a thief. I'd probably go around stealing things.
You could do it legit though and make millions off these rich guys, and then solve more crimes and stuff, save more people, rather than fucking around some dickhead. Oh, I hate Spider, you know, Jonah Jameson
with Hitler tash.
Yeah. Deal with some complete cunt.
That's a good point.
It's part of it just makes me think.
So what you're saying really is that Spider-Man is an ill-conceived concept. So let's go back to sticking that fucking Stan Lee in the fucking shit list.
How about we get this guy and he's got the powers of a spider
anyway.
But yeah, I take your point. That's a good idea.
Yeah, like it seems a no-brainer when you think about it.
I think if I woke up tomorrow morning with the powers of Spider-Man, helping people would be quite far down the list. First of all, I'd be like, whoa, and then I'd go off on an adventure. And then when that's finished, I really don't know. I'd have to regroup.
We'd have to you'd have to like move to a city with more taller buildings, because in you'd probably get away with it in Manchester.
You could maybe get away with it in Manchester, but I mean,
you'd have to stay
in. Fucking Sheffield, you'd just be swinging around the Arts Tower.
Yeah, well, you'd have to spend a lot of time in the top of John Lewis car park. The odd jump over to the town hall.
Okay, this is high octane shit. People are like, who was that dickhead doing? That dick.
So in Manchester, you'd solve a lot of crimes in Piccadilly Gardens. You'd have to limit your limit your catchment area to like a half mile radius.
Yeah. Well, so, we're thinking about that.
Yeah. So yeah, that's funny. Parker's on the shit list.
I didn't see that one coming. What a prick.
Okay, next up we've got a track from Italian band Cavava Man, who play horror punk, and they've got a cool kind of California punk sort of sound, if anyone's into Fat Records, that kind of stuff. Quite sort of melodic and upbeat and quite fast and cool. I really like their stuff. Firstly, if you want to listen to Cavava Man's music, go to cavavaman.bandcamp.com, where you can download loads of it for free, actually, which is cool. Okay, so massive thanks to Cavava Man for letting us play this tune, and I asked the band for some spiel about what they do, and this is what they had to say.
Cavava Man, Zombie Hunter, Division 22, Area 3, 19th District, Monza Territory, Italy. An evening like many others, rehearsal room, we play for the imminent release of the album. At the end we go out and there's no one. Lights, mixer, and audio-video terminals on, but there's nobody around. From then on, that underground bunker outside the city has become our base ZH. Night excursions in the nearby malls and related stocks piled on ensures the survival of our body. We keep mental balance with bass and guitar riffs, hitting the bass drum and the snare with the screams of the punk rock. When I got the music, I got a place to go. somebody used to sing. And with our music we chase away the demons of our loved ones and the eaten turned into zombies who wander the suburbs around us. Over time we discovered an underground world survived the Holocaust that keeps healthy habits. There are concerts around. There are people producing beer, supporting the music scene, organising and attaching flyers on the walls encrusted with blood. Thanks to servers strenuously defended by the zombie hordes, networking contacts assure us essential information logistics on the safe areas. I know the bases located in various districts and vital engagements to player exterminate zombies. Thanks to the community survived the net, we are alive and we play for you. This is Saw.
So Terminator Genesis just out this week.
Terminator Genesis is out this week and it's getting shite reviews.
Like true pros, neither of us went to see it.
Yeah, exactly. What we like to do is talk about the concept, yeah, and say what we think it might be like.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we go through Terminator films?
Yeah, that's good. I'm good with that.
Chronologically.
Yeah.
Terminator, the first one?
First one, virtually flawless.
Fucking solid.
It took me ages to suss out what happened to on his hair, because when he lands, he's got like a bit of a floppy Wogan do, like mm-hmm. like me whenever my hair is floppy, and it's like a side parting almost. And then later on, he's got like a the kind of crew cutty short hair thing.
Yeah.
And it took me years of watching it to work out when that happens.
He kind of gets frazzled, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly. He gets frazzled, and yeah. it's like it's not just his head hair changes. It's like his entire face changes, because initially he's kind of got like a pointy-ish chin.
Yeah.
And he looks completely different. It's weird.
Mm.
But that's not the point.
And he's also, his first Terminator look is completely forgotten as well, isn't it? Because he had some funky 80s t-shirt on.
Yeah.
He robbed some punks.
He robs Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
And some dude from the X-Files, as I call. Wash day tomorrow, nothing clean, that kind of shit. It's good. But yeah, that look is never redressed until until now, I guess, in Terminator Genisys, which we'll come to, but
But there's a fig. I saw a figure of it recently of the original Terminator look. Yeah.
Ooh.
With Arnie with sort of slick down hair, with the funky t-shirt and the long coat on.
I'd be interested in that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Because Jameson film shit, they did one in the warehouse project in Salford. And it was pretty, we went along to it. And Melissa made us late. And we fucking couldn't get in, which is really annoying.
Yeah, cut that.
I should put Melissa on the shit list for that one.
No,
but a friend of mine got in, and he was saying that guy from the X-Files who gets killed at the start.
Yeah,
he was in there giving a talk about it all.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, and there was kind of like 80s style US cops outside, and everything. They really went to town on it. It was really good. It was nice, even though we didn't get in. It was kind of cool. Seeing the buzz around it, she'd just bought it me on Blu-ray, so I let her off.
Right.
So we went home and watched it without a bunch of twats surrounding us, which is probably better than sitting in a room full of dicks.
I remember seeing it when I think you might have been on. I'm picturing BBC Two Movie Drone. Alex Cox.
High five that shit.
I'm gonna say Movie Drone because it feels like it would have been that. Back when Terminator was rated 18,
and it was still
cut with the eye popping stuff stuff, and now it's a fucking 15 uncut. Times have changed, man. I think it resonated, and I think there's a reason. Obviously, they're all years apart, but you know, Robocop, Terminator, Aliens, Predator.
Yeah.
There's just something about those films that they all fit together in my mind.
Uh huh.
And I think it's because I saw them around a similar time. I was like, fucking, that's amazing. And they all still stand up.
I think if Arnie had never, obviously diversified, had a totally varied career, didn't he really? I think if he had never done that, that first one would still stand up. Because it's a fucking solid classic, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
And it looked like the Blu-ray, I don't know if you've seen it on Blu, but it looks like it was shot a year ago or something.
Really?
I don't know. Whoever did that, a lot of fucking late nights and unpaid bank holidays and that kind of thing. There was some love went into that.
I'd be interested in it. And I think it's also weird how like the Terminator became so iconic, and it kind of, that was what helped propel Arnie into what we have as Arnie now.
Yeah.
But that could have been Lance Henriksen.
Really?
Yeah, Lance Henriksen was originally cast as the Terminator.
Shit.
And there's even some, I think it was a couple, that might have been last year, as recent as that, that some concept art was released of Lance Henriksen with, you know, half his face metal with a red eye. It was written for Lance Henriksen.
Could actually see that in a weird way.
Yeah, because he's just a normal dude, isn't he? Whereas Arnie's like a fucking brick shit house. He's going to stand up. I think that's the one thing about the Terminator is like it. Like Robert Patrick in Terminator 2, that guy blends in. Could be anyone.
Robert Patrick's menacing though, isn't he? Despite the lack of
completely. Beef. But he doesn't draw attention to himself. Whereas Arnie walking down the street, anyone signs of that is going to be like, "What the fuck's that guy?"
That's a nice bike.
Exactly.
T2.
Easy money.
That was what's the word? That was great life experience related to T2 for me because I was 13 and me and two friends, David O'Callaghan, shout out to Cal, and Camilo Diaz. Shout out to Cam. We went to see it the when the Odeon was based next to John Lewis in Sheffield.
Bloody hell, that's olden days, isn't it?
Yeah, before it became some shitty nightclub or Cole Brothers, as it was at the time.
Coles,
as the locals call it.
Yeah, I hate that.
As we locals like to say.
Even now, it's called John Lewis. They still call it Coles. Going down, Cole.
Right,
fuck off.
Right, a passage.
You're going to John Lewis, motherfucker.
Coles separates the real man from the pussholes, from these northwest pussholes.
Separates the people who can speak English from the fucking DDoS. That's what it does. No, mate, it's John Lewis, mate. Richard Hawley, hello. Coles Corner, no. It's John Lewis, mate.
John Lewis Corner. Hold back tonight. I need a new mattress. Fucking shit the bed. My wife thinks I'm a cunt. Sorry, I have to end that shit.
Have you heard the new Richard Hawley? It's a total soundtrack.
Heard a bit of the new single.
It's very good. It sounds like Lanigan.
Is it really?
Sounds like Matt Lanigan, yeah. Right. So I'm approving. His last album was decent. It wasn't a fucking Frank Sinatra Doomfest or whatever it fucking is. Anyway.
I tell you who's a big Hawley fan in this household. My daughter Rushing.
What? Really?
Because we needed a relaxing album to chill her out every night, so we give her a bit of Hawley. She fucking loves it, knocks her out.
But that's not loving it. That's like, for fuck's sake, I'm just going to turn myself unconscious.
Well, I know I sound like a dick talking about my kid all the time, but basically, like, Melissa had these relaxing baby albums and didn't work, and I was like, it's because they're all upbeat. They're all like, this is the way. Da, 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 da. So that doesn't make you want to go
to sleep.
That's
going to keep any fucker up.
Yeah, whereas a bit of like, we're the station.
Yes, I can see that.
It's going to chill a baby out.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and get her into the Blade Runner soundtrack as well.
Nice.
So, anyway.
Probably turn it off before, like, end titles. Like,
dream about being chased around the playground. By Rutger Hauer.
Yeah.
So what the fuck? Oh yeah. So T2. Yeah, we were 13 and it was summer holidays and we were like, fuck, gotta try and see this. And we went into Odeon Sheffield, and they were like, what's your date of birth? And my date of birth was 78, and I was like, some fast thinking, 76. And there's some students who were like, okay, go in then. They knew we weren't fucking 15. And we were like, and we waited till they were out of sight and walking up the stairs and just went, yes! Fucking hell! And you know, when you're not used to that level of just action and violence on the big screen,
yeah.
You know, I'll never forget that day. It was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of stuff cut out. I had the VHS. Second day it came out, I got the VHS, and it was just cut to fuck, as I remember.
Really?
Just loads of shit got cut out of it, because maybe I was just imagining it being more badass than it really was, but...
I like the I remember there used to be... Now everything's... Whenever anything comes out on the home release, there's always a special edition. It's always it's always different from the cinema one or whatever, but with Terminator 2 there was a bona fide special edition, wasn't there, just like Aliens,
right
and it had like bits where the T-1000 gets confused after he's been blown up and he's malfunctioning a bit, and there's
Hasta la vista,
yeah,
dickhead, fuck you,
yeah, there's a bit where he's like, he's walking past like a railing and he stops because he's just become stuck to the railing. And there's other bits. There's some interesting bits in it.
It was a bit missed out where she goes into Arnie's head, and I only saw that on TV recently.
Yes, what's his name, teaches him how to smile, and there's a bit where he does this weird kind of weird smile. Yeah,
and, Edward Furlong. I remember wanting to be Edward Furlong, right?
No, you didn't. You wanted to be Edward Furlong's fucking mate with a ginger mullet.
Oh, fucking hell. Jesus. I can confirm
your,
I never
your foster wanted... parents are kind of dicks, huh?
I can confirm I never wanted to be that dickhead. And I don't really want to be Edward Furlong anymore, no. Either.
I don't think Edward Furlong wants to be Edward Furlong. Star of the Crow 4.
I had the vinyl. You could be my eye.
Yeah, tune.
Arnie goes to terminate Guns N' Roses. You've seen the video.
Yeah. Solid stuff, those first two.
Yeah, and Arnie diversifies, shows a bit of humour and... I don't know, just sort of... who saw that coming? Terminator became... I didn't know any... It was in the pre-web days, so nobody fucking knew what it was going to be, did they? And
no, that's true.
Arnie's kind of the good guy, still a badass. Still love that. That first scene where he goes in, it takes on a bunch of bikers, you know, some bikers acting hard, and he just kicks their ass.
Yeah.
And they plays that song, bad to the bone.
Yeah. Strong stuff.
Can't let you take the man's wheel, son.
T3. I did not like, well, I didn't like the throwback to that.
Big Claire Danes, man. We've got here, I reckon.
Claire Danes. I do like Claire Danes a lot.
Right.
But that's not the problem. To be fair, the problem with T3 is that it's just, I don't think it, each time Terminator comes back with, again with Salvation and with now Genesis, each time it comes back post T2, it's like, oh, we've got a new idea to do this, and it's, you think it's going to go off in a certain route, and it never does. T3, I went to see it at the cinema. I was excited by it. I thought it was entertaining. I did not like him going to get boots and motorcycle and shit and coming out with fucking Elton John shades. Oh, what the fuck? And it's like,
what's your problem? Is a modern Terminator?
No, just no. I mean, fair enough, go off piste, but that, don't take the piste. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But he looked fucking ace, because I think that was, it was around 2003, let's say. Can go with that. He'd had a heart attack.
Really?
Yeah, I think it might have been around the time of Batman, actually. He had some heart surgery. But to see, I think it was interesting to see him at his age in that and looking as badass as he is. I don't imagine Terminator Genesis we're going to see a modern naked Arnie looking as ripped.
He did look fucking nails in 3, despite his age.
Exactly, yeah. He looked badass.
I think the problem is like for me, because T2 basically did everything you could really do with a Terminator, didn't it? Yeah. So where'd you go from there? Yeah. Like, cause, and then they just hire some pouty model to be a Terminator in the third one, like, regardless of her gender. And they seem to choose a woman that didn't look threatening at all, which was weird.
I don't know. I think she did all right. I think she had the same cold, dead eyes that Robert Patrick had in the first one. In the second one, sorry. Because they were just like, you could pass by them. They weren't like... I mean, she was hot, but like, there's a bit where she's pulled up in traffic next. There's, oh, for some reason, she extends her boobs, doesn't she?
Right. I can't remember any of it, man.
Really? I'm clutching. But yeah, there's a bit where she's pulled up in traffic next to some guy, and he's there looking all smiley at her, and for whatever reason, I can't remember what her actual reason is, but she increases the size of her breasts.
Because I mean, I think,
but there's some good sequences, isn't it? There's some good action, some good trucks, there's some good, it's good to see like the fucking T1, which is like some fat tank thing ploughing about the corridors like someone from Doctor Who. It's quite nice when they get to Skynet at the end. It's like, what?
You just summed up why I fucking hated it, I think. Yeah, Claire Danes.
You got beef with the Danes?
Well, her character just appeared out of nowhere for no reason and then was gone instantly after that film.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
And what's his name? Went off the map, didn't he? What's the guy from Sin City?
Nick Stahl.
Yeah,
he went mental. I think last year or the year before him, he went missing and was found in LA's Skid Row, and then was in fucking rehab. Oh, that's post Sin City.
Yeah,
he went fucking crackers.
Bloody hell. Like for me, by that point, like I was saying to you earlier, like for me, it felt like once the Matrix had arrived, Terminator felt like it carbon dated quite a lot. And they tried to sort of make it a bit Matrix, I felt.
Like badass sci-fi has already... Like, you've already got some, like, vintage badass sci-fi. and then The Matrix comes along and essentially rejuvenates the genre.
Yeah, like Matrix added this kind of anime, you know, manga sort of vibe to stuff, and they kind of tried to bring that bit of that in with the robot design in the third one, and didn't quite sit right, you know, if you know what I mean. It kind of, it was like a bit of ashamed of itself, I thought. And
yeah.
And also, I don't know what it was. I don't think a Terminator needs to be muscly, but I just thought it could have, like, Robert Patrick's got menace, hasn't he, for me, and maybe, like, what's her name, the chick from The Craft, I can't remember, I'm forgetting her name.
Which one?
The kind of witchy woman. The main antagonist.
Feruza Balk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, I thought she could have been a good Terminator at the
time.
Yeah,
I see that. Yeah,
and even like
Terminatrix. That's what they called it, wasn't it? Yeah.
Or even I don't quite, because like Edward Furlong's in American History X, wasn't he? So if he credits a film like that, why not still be John Connor? Like, I didn't really quite. That didn't quite equate for me, but I'm sure they had their reasons. I mean, maybe it was just like, ooh, did a Macaulay Culkin or whatever.
Maybe.
3 was the low point for me, but I tell you what, I didn't mind the fourth one.
No, the fourth one, yeah. I've got no beef with it. I think we got the best iteration of John Connor ever. Christian Bale. What, don't you fucking understand?
You like to whisper into a microphone now. A lot of whispering.
I like Terminator 4. Not because it's a film by McG, and not because Christian Bale. I think it's just nice to see the adventures of that shit without time travel. Let's see what the shit is going down in the future.
Yeah, it's good to see a future world in daylight. It was nice.
Yeah.
You know? That was like almost Mad Max world.
I like
Terminators.
I did like the throwbacks to the earlier films. Like, there's a bit where John Connor nicks a fucking Terminator bike.
Yeah.
And for some reason straps on Guns N' Roses, You Can Be Mine. Yeah. I'm not even going to question that. That's fine.
And did you notice it looked like it was the same petrol station Sarah pulls up at the end of the first Terminator?
I did not notice that.
There you go.
I will look at it again, because I do like Salvation.
It's got its moments.
There's a lot to like about it, and it's a little confusing. It doesn't know what it wants to be. Like, what's Sam Worthington's thing?
Well,
what kind of Terminator is he?
I heard a story, right? Basically, that it was going to be his film entirely, and then at the end of it, you discover John Connor. But Bale's like, no, I'm not having that. I want more Bale in it. I want to whisper down that microphone. And so there's lots of scenes of Bale not really doing anything, and then he shows up at the end and fights Arnie, a CG Arnie, and but when you watch it now, like, Sam Worthington's scenes are all pretty badass and Bale's are all a bit whispery.
That's a good point. Although the opening sequence is fucking strong as hell. There's a bit where there's like Terminator shit on the battlefield and Bale gets in a helicopter. And it's like a proper, long take. The camera's only sat on Bale's head whilst he's flying this helicopter, and all shit's going off. It's a massive long take, and I've got a real boner for long takes. And I'm going to doff my cap in Mick G's direction for that kind of shit.
It's a good looking film.
It is, and it's. I mean,
tell you what, it's better than 3 as well.
It's totally better than 3.
It was a breath of fresh air after that.
And that, I think that was at the time, that was supposed to be the start of another trilogy or something, because I could have watched more of that. I could have watched more of the adventures of kid who plays Chekhov, what's his name, Anton Yelchin.
He was believable, actually, as what's his name, Kyle Reese.
And you've got him, you could have had another two films. I'd have watched more of that. But instead we get what we're coming up to. But
Sarah Connor with no pubes.
Fucking hell, Jim. That's not where I was going.
But yeah, it didn't feel like a big win.
It didn't
feel like a total miss either.
I agree.
I remember coming out of it thinking that was actually all right.
Yeah.
But it wasn't great, but it was I enjoyed it as much as Jurassic World,
yeah,
which I quite enjoyed, you know.
Yeah, it wasn't shit. If people are going to labour over a film like that's shortcomings,
yeah,
then you're kind of missing the point of it. I mean, I'm a big advocate of cinema as art and cinema as making statements and stuff, but also you need fucking chewing gum for the eyes, and those films like that do it.
Yeah,
Michael Bay does it in a different way, but that's another story. Yeah. But nothing wrong with Salvation for the most part, and also I'm a big fan of Christian Bale's on-set meltdown against the lighting guy.
Oh yeah, that seems to that didn't do it any favours, did it?
It didn't, no. But I liked it when someone, it came out at the same time as
no,
me.
No, no, no,
McGee, you got something to say to this prick? What don't you fucking understand? It's fucking amazing.
Do you want me to come down there, pull your lights over?
It's awesome. And what's even more awesome is when someone had the fucking nous and mash it up with Mel Gibson's voicemail
to his
missus. So Gibson's been a drunk racist and abusive on the phone.
Right.
Someone mashed it up with that, and it's on YouTube. And it's like Mel Gibson's phoned up Christian Bale, and it's like it properly fits. Like it scans so well in terms of like they're having a conversation and a proper argument. It's worth your time. Check it out. Mel Gibson phones up Christian Bale. But that's not why Terminator Salvation is good. It's just decent. It's pretty decent.
Yeah, I rewatched it a year ago and quite enjoyed it. Yeah,
it's the only decent film from McGee that I've ever seen.
What else has he done then?
Charlie's Angels 2.
I've not seen either of them.
Oh, that fucking shit with Chris Pine and Tom Hardy and This Means War, when they're both fighting over Reese Witherspoon for some fucking reason.
I've not seen that either.
He's done some of the shit.
You're not selling this.
No, exactly. So that's why Terminator Salvation is a pleasant surprise. Actually, there's a film on Netflix with Kevin Costner, something like 3 days left or something, where he's been poisoned and he's got to do his job for the CIA before some shit happens. I don't know.
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
No one cares. Right. But yeah, McGee, F that guy. I'm one consonant away from sharing his space.
Salvation had its moments.
Yeah, it did.
I think it deserved a sequel, if I'm being honest. Right. Although this shouldn't have. Always safe to ruin it? People have seen it by now, haven't they?
If you've not seen Terminator Salvation, which is a film that's 6 years old,
we're going to ruin it. They shouldn't have killed off Tom Worthington. Is it Tom Worthington?
Sam
Worthington. Why always get people's names wrong? What?
I can't even fucking remember. Did they kill him off?
Yeah, he dies at the end.
Does he?
No, it's like let's kill off the best character in the film.
How does he kill him off? I can't remember.
I think he gives his heart to Bale.
Yes, he does. And and therein lies the irony. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
Do you know what? Because I was recently watching. I forgot the fucking name again.
I was watching something. It happened. And then I went to bed.
I think Bale does two things really well. He OTT like American Psycho. OTT cunt.
Yeah.
He's great at that. And he does humble motherfucker like The Machinist.
Right.
I think it was something to do with furnace, under the furnace or something.
Out of
the furnace. Yeah. He was playing a machinist kind of character, and he's really great in it.
Okay.
Because whenever he's humble or OTT, he's great. And I don't know, whenever he's anything else, doesn't really sit right for
me.
Have
you seen Harsh Times?
Oh, fucking hell.
That's terrible. I got half an hour into that, and it was killing me.
Hey, brother, we're going to go for some of them pistols or what? Oh, shit, son.
Yeah.
We're going to sink a few pistols.
Isn't Harsh Times by...
The guy making Suicide Squad.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. Harsh fucking director, mate.
He's hired a therapist for the Suicide Squad, apparently.
Really?
Yeah, there's an on-set therapist. Right, so they don't... I'm guessing... Yeah. I'm reading between the lines here, but it sounds like they've hired a therapist so that no one goes, like, so kind of into character that they end up doing a Heath Ledger.
I do.
And having to take some major relaxation.
Shit.
Because I think... I remember when... With the Ledger caper, there was the fact that he was so invested in the character that it was he needed time. Anyway,
every time I see anything with Leto in it, it does make me more intrigued about his Joker. C- because interesting chap.
Yeah,
it's got to be said. I mean, not obviously those tattoos.
We'll
strange,
have to live.
Strange decision, but
we'll have to live with them.
I can get past it.
Yeah,
I think gangly motherfucker as the Joker is always good.
Yeah,
you know,
it makes fresh. It. Yeah, it's a fresh change.
All right, time for some music then. Up next, we've got a track by Sheffield Rock and Rollers, Roman Sun. They've got a wonderful line in guitar licks, hair, and all the business that comes with being in a badass rock and roll band. They just brought out a new EP called Blood on My Hands. You can find out more about them on Facebook and other means on the internet. But it occurred to us that at Meat for the Beast, we've been a bit remiss in like. Never played them before, so we're going to play a track from their first EP. This is History of Violence, which comes with it a sterling video, which is we're going to put a link to it on the Facebook page. But it's a wicked video, kind of like an homage to Smack My Bitch Up, like first person manner of mission, creating a bit of ruckus whilst out on the tiles, and also contains the best moment of knocking chips out of someone's hand which I've ever seen. It looks so satisfying. So big thanks to Mark, Tim, Marty and Dicko for letting us use the track, and this here is History of Violence.
Before we go on to Genesis, going back to Terminator.
Yeah.
Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles. Did you watch that?
I saw the first episode, really liked it. Never watched any of it. What a fucking dick. And yeah. I had it on Netflix as well. I could have seen it all.
Was it on Netflix?
Nothing. Yeah. And then it's gone now.
Son of a bitch.
I'm going to have to buy it if I want to see it, because I'd refuse to screw the creators. Unlike someone in this room.
I'm not screwed a creative in a long time.
You love to screw the great minds out there.
I don't mean my internet doesn't well my computer doesn't work. Anyway, what are we talking about this?
McVeigh loves to see a special effects man go hungry. Loves watch his son cry at the dinner table.
I didn't ask him to have a kid, so that's his lookout. Dick. Sarah Chronicles.
Yeah.
It was decent.
Lena Headey.
Lena Headey. Yeah. Pretty badass.
Yeah, would have been my choice for the new one, really. Yeah, she's probably getting on a bit by now.
Perfectly cast. Yeah. And even there was a we've mentioned a guy in the past. He's a character actor, Garrett Dillahunt, who exudes menace in everything he's fucking in. He's in Sarah Connor Chronicles as an Arnie-esque Terminator, sweet, tracking him down.
Yeah,
and I think Sarah Connor Chronicles worked because it played with time. They moved forward in time, and it was. Like even the kid who was John Connor, he was decent. I haven't really got much to say about it other than it was all right.
How many do you know? How many seasons it ran? For?
I think it was. I think it was only two.
That's quite watchable then.
Yeah. And I think there's 18 episodes in the first series, probably less in the next one.
When something's got like two seasons, I always think that would be easy to watch. And then by the end of the second season, I'm like, fuck! Why did I get into this? I want to see more.
Yeah.
Do you ever do that?
Yeah, there was a show called Terriers, which have you seen Gotham?
Just saw first episode.
The guy who plays Bullock, Harvey Bullock.
Yeah, yeah.
He's in it, and another dude who was in True Blood. But they're two like private detectives in essentially like a South California, like an OC style, rich and sunny resort.
Yeah,
and they're investigating crime. It's just a private eye kind of show, but it was it was well written. Yeah. It only lasted one season, and you knew that there was more story to be had when it ended. And it's just, I think it's just a shame when shows like that have critical acclaim and they have audience like respect, but they don't. Mm. It's all about numbers. If people aren't watching it, it's not going to get.
Yeah,
it's gonna come back.
It's a real shame. I mean, I got into Jericho a few years ago, and. That seemed like a show with a lot of muscles to flex.
Yeah.
Never got the chance to... I mean, it started getting pretty intelligent, started going into insurrection and all kinds of weird shit, and the point where it got interesting, they just canned it because it wasn't kind of...
Yeah.
You know, getting the numbers anymore, which is a real shame.
Shit, did you watch Firefly?
I saw the pilot for Firefly and it didn't blow me away.
Right.
So I never gave it a proper shot, but I hear a lot of good stuff.
I've only ever watched Serenity.
I know you like Joss Whedon, don't you?
No,
big fan.
Fucking hell. Sorry, I'm just looking into actually. Sarah, seeing as we're on Terminator, Sarah Connor Chronicles. Summer Glau is a girl Terminator sent back to protect.
John Connor. I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, she's badass. And also, I've forgotten that Shirley Manson from Garbage.
Really?
Isn't it?
She's in Sarah Chronicle Chronicles. Yeah. Sarah Chronicle Chronicles.
Yes. as I believe some sort of... I think she's... Yeah. If I recall, she's either the head of some sort of tech company and or a Terminator.
I once peeped up her skirt in the Manchester Apollo. Wearing a very short skirt and I was near the front.
Really?
A little peep.
Do you see a foo-foo?
And I got groped by a goth.
Really?
Yeah, I got a gothic man.
Yeah, had yourself a time, Jim.
Groped me on the chest.
You stupid girl.
So I got the fuck out of there. She was a good performer, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they were the best band in the world, obviously. Oh, yeah, but the
first album was decent, though.
Yeah.
I think that album has. It's got temporal connotations for me. I think it was first or second year of college. Just understanding what girls were, because I went to a boys' school, so I was like,
learning about front bums and that kind of thing.
Front bums, yeah, I know. What's that about? Front bums.
tell you what's a good song. Stupid Girl, that's a great one.
As is, I think, Vow, and the things that weren't singles off that album were strong.
Right.
None of them come to mind at the minute.
I got
For the record, listeners, we are drinking. So, now we've got Terminator Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis with a Y in the middle for some reason. And those trailers, obviously the film's just come out. By the time you've heard this, you might well have seen it. So me and Jim are slack ass mofos, so
it's only been out a few days, to be fair.
Yeah,
we've got lives to lead, haven't we? You know,
that's true.
You know,
but if you've seen the trailers, you'll be like, "What the fuck?" If you're anything like me, I'm like, "What the fucking hell?" Also, you've shown us too much in the trailers.
Yeah,
like not like reviews notwithstanding, in terms of what we know, the trailers just seem to make it look like, is this a remake? Is this a sequel? What's happening? Also, why is that? Why is John Connor a Terminator?
Yeah,
what? Yeah. And I think that's the job of the trailer to do, to get people interested. But the first trailer did a decent enough job of that. I was like, all right, I can see kind of where you're going. But the second trailer was like, I can picture the, I'm pretty sure I can picture the film as it is. Yeah. I hope I'm wrong. Mm. But the reviews have been scathing and they're not great.
It was, one thing that raised its estimation for me is Cameron piping up saying it's I like it, you know, just him saying he said that he wasn't that arsed about the last two, essentially, right. He said, but this one's worth checking out.
Okay.
But he kind of said it because it feeds into his story and he had no link to it, so he said he was, for him, he was excited about watching it because it, I don't know, took his story somewhere new.
Okay.
For me, that was kind of like, yeah, okay, Cameron still carries a bit of weight for me despite his blue cat dickheads.
Yeah,
because he doesn't strike me as someone that would do that for no reason, you know, because he could have done that twice before and didn't.
Yeah, he could be dicking about under the fucking sea in his magic submarine looking for new fish, which is what he seemed to do.
That certainly carried a lot of weight, but
I'm liking the look of certain things.
Yeah,
about it. I'm liking.
Arnie's always a bonus, isn't he?
Exactly, I like the fact that we get old Arnie versus Arnie from the 80s with his side part in. And I think Emilia Clarke.
She's Sarah Connor, right?
She's Sarah Connor. Yeah, Khaleesi from Game of Thrones. I've only ever seen her with. White hair, and she's very pretty, but when she's got dark hair, and when she's dishing out like, come with me if you want to live kind of stuff, there's actually a proper Sarah Connor vibe there that I seem to be picking up on just from the trailers alone.
Yeah.
And Jason Clarke as John Connor is ace. Did you see the TV show called The Chicago Code?
No,
it was by a guy who did The Shield.
Okay.
And it was really good, but it was on a network, so they couldn't be violent or anything, but it was brilliant. And he was a very driven cop in it. He's a brilliant, brilliant performance. And he's in Lawless. Have you seen?
Yeah, I was going to say, with Tom Hardy.
Yeah, he's like, there's Shia LaBeouf, Tom Hardy, and him.
Yeah, he was quite menacing in that. That's another thing that makes me want to check it out.
He's good.
Yeah, in terms of John Connor's. He seems a good, all right choice.
Yeah,
he looks a bit paddy as well.
He does, doesn't he?
Looks like a sort of young version of my old man. Or something. Not a man I'd want to fuck with.
And then, of course, we've got Jack Courtney. It was Kyle Reese.
Hmm.
But whatever.
You're all right.
I don't know what it is. He's done nothing against me. I can't abide the look on his face. He looks like. I don't know, maybe it's a kind of, he's more masculine than me, I don't know, the kind of guy that, you know, when you're a teenager, he's going to be some guy who looks like that who went to your school, and when you're in a nightclub or whatever, he's going to be the guy going home with the girl that you were after, and he's going to look smug about it, and he's not even going to care about her either. He's got that kind of face. I hate him. I don't know why. He just looks like a.
Where's this coming from?
I don't know. I just fucking hate him. I really don't know.
Dark Tales, some Ashton under crime.
He just looks like a prick. He's got the face of a prick.
Yeah, he looks like a fucking meathead, doesn't he?
He does. He looks like a meathead, and I think he's got. Yeah, there's nothing special about him.
He looks like a pusshole meathead. He looks like.
I don't understand why he's got where he is. because I've not spotted any discernible talent. Did you bother with Die Hard 5?
No,
me neither.
Melissa said it was shit, but that's not always the.
You know, everyone in the world said
great
it's shit.
Barometer.
Well, the five people that fucking watched it said it's shit. but he plays John McClane's son.
Yeah, John McClane doesn't really know a fucking son. What's all that about?
He does have a son.
He's got a daughter.
No, she turns up in 4, but he's got a son. Don't you remember in the first one when fucking dick from Ghostbusters goes around knocking on the door?
Right.
And there's two kids there. There's a girl and a boy.
Okay.
So you've got the daughter who's Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Yeah.
And she's you know, we understand her. But how did the younger brother grow up into that meat feast fucking yeah, fuck off. I don't know where this is coming from. I really can't abide it. He's really put me off the film.
I heard something yesterday I'd not heard since the 80s. Bruce Willis was one of the people shortlisted to be the 80s Batman.
Really?
Yeah. Like when people were giving Keaton grief about becoming Batman.
Well, to be fair, I guess, you know, if you look at the 80s, you've got big players. Keaton wasn't one of them. He was a comedy actor.
That's true, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
To cast him as Batman is a bold move.
Yeah, it was a pretty wise move as well.
Of course it was.
Keaton, untouchable.
Oh, Keaton,
untouchable.
Oh, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. Yeah.
After Adam West, you can do no wrong with Keaton, I reckon.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I've been thinking. You know, there's been a lot of celebrity, like good celebrity deaths this year. As in, I don't think death's good. I mean,
good celebrities have died.
Yeah.
What you're saying?
Yeah. Right. I don't want people to die. But people like Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah.
And someone else died, didn't they? Somebody, one of the good guys died recently. Christopher Lee.
Of course, yeah.
So it feels like Adam West's death is getting closer and closer. Do you know what I mean? That's going to be a dark day for me.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like I should start preparing for that.
No, don't. Let's just hope it's a long way off.
I was in Forbidden Planet about a year ago and suddenly looked up and there was a 1 foot high statue of the Adam West Batman in this cool ass box in front of me. I just stood there with my mouth open and some guy with a beard came and stood next to me and I looked at him and said, "You can't fuck with a foot high Adam West." And he looked at me and said, "Yeah, you're right." No more was said when I walked off.
That's a nice meeting. I like that, man.
That's 100% true story. Yeah. Respect to Adam West.
Respect to Adam West. So we're Adam West. Have you seen the new pictures of?
Oh yeah. Okay.
Of Batman. That have been released. We've got some stuff. I don't know. It was on the cover of what's it called, Entertainment Daily or whatever. I don't know, Weekly. Yeah.
Wonder Woman.
Lots of Wonder Woman there. She doesn't. This is not any kind of anti-lady thing, but I think it's Batman versus Superman. Whatever. Blah blah blah. Yeah. And we're kickstarting Justice League, so obviously Wonder Woman's got to be in there, and she's very pretty. And she's very badass as well. I've seen her in she's in Fast and the Furious 4 and 5, I think.
Okay.
She's good.
Okay.
Not a problem with her as a concept.
Yeah.
I think they're going down a there's too much going on in this film to do it all justice.
Yeah, someone was telling me someone was saying that Marvel have got this very, basically there's somebody at Marvel kind of cracking the whip.
Yeah.
And saying, "You've got your freedom, but this, that and the other."
Yeah.
Whereas Warner Brothers have a bit more of a off the leash kind of approach, which doesn't really work for this kind of, you know, setting up a Justice League.
Exactly, because they're seeing what Marvel are doing and thinking, "Why? We need some of that fat stacks. We can do this. Mm-hmm. And you can, but you've got to do it correctly.
But I think for me, I've got to be honest, I don't care about the Justice League. I think fuck the Justice League.
I don't give a shit.
Because I don't read Like, I've read a few Justice League comics, and I'll be honest, I prefer just reading the Batman on Superman comic, because Batman on a spaceship, it's weird.
Yeah,
it doesn't really. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's big talk that's going to get us.
No,
hate, but
I don't give a fuck. If someone wants to write in saying Batman on a spaceship is fucking relevant and appropriate, then chime in, because it isn't.
I get Green Lantern on a spaceship, fine.
Yeah.
Superman on a spaceship, no problem. Yeah. Wonder Woman on a spaceship, no problem. Green Arrow on a spaceship, why does he need to be there? Mm. All he does is fire arrows. What's he going to do, fire an arrow at the other spaceship?
Would an arrow travel through a vacuum?
Some white arrow.
What would happen if you threw an arrow in the vacuum?
Probably won't go anywhere.
So that's that fault.
Martian Manhunter, great.
From space.
Great, yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. Batman in a spaceship?
No.
What's he going to do? Like, what training has he got on Earth to make him effective in that spaceship?
That's an excellent point. No one's ever made it.
League of Shadows taught him to...
League of Shadows!
Have a shit in zero gravity, effectively. So yeah, I get it.
Analysing Batman's ability of space travel, whereas Green Arrow, we're all right with him being there. He's just going to be shit. Whereas Batman, why is he there? How did he get there? Green Arrow's there with his Robin about, like, I have no idea.
Yeah. So I don't know. I can live with it, because Justice League does seem to generally be a spacey type affair, doesn't it?
But Aquaman,
stupid.
Aquaman's got no business on a spaceship, has he?
I know. What the fuck's he gonna do? Summon up fucking space white hole or something.
Fucking drying up here, boys. I need a drink. Give me a fucking drink.
Yeah, I don't know. But well, you know, world's finest, no problem. You know, that was pretty Earth based, wasn't it?
Mm.
Usually. Superman's your muscle, Batman's your brains. I mean, it's a winning combination.
Absolutely, yeah, it's fine. I'm good with that.
I don't see where the others fit into that, really.
Yeah, I worry that. To be honest, I think maybe we're probably biased being Batman fans.
Yeah.
We just want a Batman film, don't we? For me, the presence of Superman in this, I could do without. But I'm just more interested into seeing how they've clearly gone down the Dark Knight Returns route. I want to see how that's realised visually.
I tell you what, I was saying this to my friend Jay the other day, like, I want to see a Superman film made by Marvel, because they know how to do that kind of film.
Only if they've got the right talent behind them. I think Snyder's worked well for Warner's in the past. You know, I think Watchmen was Warner's.
Yeah.
And that's
a DC
book, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, DC. Yeah, I really rate Watchmen.
Granted, that is just a one-off. Am I right in thinking you're not keen on Man of Steel?
Yeah, it just didn't quite sit right for me. I think part of it's like, if you took like the tone of, like, because there's this argument, Superman doesn't work for the modern day, and he's the hero we deserve, and blah de blah de fucking blah. But like, Thor's basically a Superman film. I remember
pretty
thinking
much, yeah.
When someone said to me there's going to be a Thor film, I was like, fuck off.
I could not give a shit.
Yeah, I was like, there's no fucking way that's going to work.
Yeah.
And it fucking did.
Exactly. Thor was one of the better Marvel films.
Yeah,
it really was.
And I'd say that's better than, like, I enjoyed it more than Man of Steel, and I don't think that should have been the case, because
no, I think you're right there.
Like, for me, Superman's a way stronger character than Thor. Like, even as a 5-year-old, I remember looking at Thor and thinking, some twat in a silly hat.
Yeah.
And he's got a shit haircut, you know, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
Even though, like Thor was on the Flag of Sheffield, I loved all that stuff as a kid, and it was like, I had every reason to love Thor.
Mm.
And was like, yeah, fuck Thor. You know, I'll stick with Superman, Batman. And, just take a bit of that fun, you know, take that fun and a bit of that kind of, don't hold back, just enjoy, like, celebrate your character. And
I think with Man of Steel, it came too close to Dark Knight Rises. What were they, like, were they a year, 2 years apart, if that?
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
No, shit. They were, like,
might have even been the same year as Rises, actually.
Rises was 12. Man of Steel must have been 13.
Yeah, 2 years from now, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, they were still hot on the heels of the Nolanverse Batman.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Man of Steel was produced by Nolan. He had a shoe in. He had a hand in it. Sorry. Not a shoe. Well, maybe he did just leave a shoe. Leave a shoe in the trailer. It felt appropriate at the time for me. It felt that they were right to continue down this dark and gloomy route, because Marvel are doing the fucking Dayglow Power Rangers fucking, oh, let's have a nice bright primary coloured well lit fucking CGI fest. So I can understand why they took that route with Man of Steel, but at the same time, I'm with you, it was more dour than it needed to be.
Yeah, I heard a good argument the other day, because there was basically they were saying, "Oh, this new film's going to be styled very much on Dark Knight Returns," but then it said, "Well, but look at how Miller depicted Superman in this," and it's like it's exactly what you just described. It's like him bare chested with an eagle on his shoulder and a bright blue sun, and
yeah,
you know, it's kind of,
that's true.
I don't know, it's a weird one. It's because I don't think there's any other way to really do Superman other than probably what Burton was going to do, which got naysayed. And I wonder if that had have actually happened. You know, like...
But wasn't what Burton was going to do with Superman? In my mind, I think that would have looked just like what fucking Schumacher did with Batman.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah?
Well, basically, if Burton hadn't have succeeded with his Batman project in the late 80s, it seems likely it would have probably defaulted back to Adam West. And they would have probably... I don't mean Adam West specifically, but would have probably been probably a more successful version of the Schumacher type.
Era. Okay, right.
You know, more like kind of a Christopher Reeves type.
Yes.
Version of Batman. If you're not, no issue with Christopher Reeves, it's great. But if Burton had done Superman and it had been a big hit, it makes you wonder what Superman would be now, because in the 90s he certainly changed a lot, because he got that kind of weird mullet, and then they gave him a black suit for a while, black and silver suit, and it makes you wonder whether he would be the kind of Dayglow kind of blue boy he is now. Obviously Frank Miller had a bigger impact than Burton, but you can't discredit Burton's impact at the same time. So.
Yeah, that's true. That's a weird one.
Yeah.
Do you know what's just occurred to me as well? I have no concept of Superman as a comic book character. Really? Like, in terms of, like, I'm aware that Batman is constantly ongoing, and I'm aware of, you know, what's happened with Batman RIP and 52 and whatnot.
Yeah,
I have no idea what's going on in Superman's story. Like, where we're up to Superman issue 985 or whatever. What the fuck is going on?
The last one I read was quite good, actually. I read a new 52 one, and it was John Romita Jr., the Kick-Ass bloke.
All right.
And who's considered to have quite a clunky style, but I don't mind it. I quite like it. And he's now, it's weird because he's now joined Superman, but he's got a very Marvel style.
Mm-hmm.
And I just quite like it, and he makes him look Italian.
Alright,
he gives everybody quite an Italian nose, and
he's one of the guys he drew Daredevil, didn't he?
Without
Fear Doc,
exactly. Yeah,
he's the, I know the guy.
I mean, the bringing out his collection like pretty soon, I think.
Okay,
so I reckon I'll pick that up. But for me, like, in recent years, like, Superman graphic novels, comics and stuff have been, like, they've blown me away more than the Batman stuff, really, which is big talk from a Bat fan.
People are dishing it up for you. I know.
Like, Grant Morrison's All-Star Superman, fuck. Like, my mum doesn't know shit about comics or anything, really.
Right.
And every year she's like, "Oh, what do you want for Christmas?" And I'll just say, "Oh, can you get me whatever... cost about a tenner or 20, whatever, 20, 15 quid. And I went round to mum's, and she got me, like, Grant Morrison's All-Star Superman, like, 70 quid edition.
Holy shit.
I was like, fucking hell. Wasn't expecting that, Mum.
Right. What'd you get for that? What's in those 70 quid editions? I've always been curious.
They're just a bit bigger and... Yeah, you just get more extras and sketches and... I'll show you later. Yeah. But it was kind of like... That was a fucking good read. Yeah. Morrison and Quietly.
Nice.
Kicking ass.
Quietly.
Yeah. So, I reckon you'd appreciate it with your, you know, being into his... Those guys into their Batman take.
Yes.
That was their warm-up.
What, the Superman was?
Yeah.
The warm-up for Batman?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Nice one.
Yeah.
Nice one. Pair of mental Scotsmen.
Yeah. Glasgow's finest.
That's fucking good.
So I would have happily read their take on Batman for fucking another decade, to be honest.
Yeah.
So pisses on what the Schneider pricks.
No.
Churning out his arsehole.
Shut up. The Black Mirror is fucking strong. Okay. I think given time constraints and what we have to do with our lives, I haven't got time to follow a weekly, monthly comic book. Really. Yeah. So I'd like to take a graphic novel of 8 issues stuck together.
Yeah.
But preferably standalone. I don't know anything about this new 52 and the old 52. I don't know. I don't know what's happening in the comic book world.
To be honest,
when you said
it's
to
not
me,
really that much different, you know.
But there's a lot of rebooting and retconning, and it's like we're changing stuff.
Basically, Batman's 28 and Robin's 24. Even all fucking 8 Robins are like 23.
Well, that makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, exactly. It makes no fucking sense.
Right, fuck it then.
Yeah.
I'll just wait for people to tell me what's good.
Fucking, you're our mate, Tim Drake.
That's ridiculous.
Tim Drake's about 24, Jason Todd's 25, and Dick Grayson's 26.
Surely Batman's Dick Grayson should be about fucking 38.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like Batman should be about 42, by, you know, feels like. But it's a bit strange.
Shit.
But props to Todd. Todd's kicking ass in. Arkham Knight. Todd's back in a big way.
Is he?
He's got his own subplot, and he plays a big part in the story. Is all I'll say.
All right, good.
Yeah,
very good. Do you know what I almost bought the other day, but I didn't because
go for it.
I can't be asked. Dick Grayson, new book. Grayson.
Okay.
Agents of Spiral. He's a fucking Tom Cruise, Ethan Hunt style spy.
No way.
He's binned off the Nightwing. He's been rumbled, and it's Grayson as a spy.
No way, shit.
Bang up for that shit.
Does he do any juggling? The juggle for spare change on the streets of
Berlin.
He's
a juggler's titties. shut up.
Shows up to the crime scene on a unicycle.
Oh my god. In juggler trousers. Just because he's not a homicidal maniac. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Right. So, that's my plan. I'm going to get that Dick Grayson book and see what Nightwing's up to these days, because there's only ever been one Robin and it's been Dick Grayson, and he's not dead.
Bullshit.
Right. I think we're done because
let's do it.
It's like 20 past 1 in the morning.
Yeah. So we'll sign off.
This has been Meat for the Beast episode something team 14?
14, yeah.
14.
Yeah. It's been some good shit.
It's certainly been shit.
We've laid it down. We've laid that shit down.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for listening. Thank you for your continued patronage.
Yeah. This will probably be going out in a couple of weeks, so this is like a bonus, really.
Exactly.
You don't know how fucking lucky you are.
Well, certainly tolerant. Thank you. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, and chip in. Give us some love. Give us something back.
Yeah, contribute. Yeah, I mean, we'd like some feedback. If you're not listening to it, then tell us. Although you're not going to know if you're not listening. You know, I'll put a message out on Facebook. I'm enjoying this.
Maybe give us, if you've got the time, give us a review on iTunes. Always helps. That means we might get more listeners.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Give us a share.
Feel free to share.
Yeah, share.
Don't just like it.
Share the wealth.
Don't just look at it, eat it.
Okay,
that's good,
let's do it.
Okay, so sorry we got a bit, we're a bit out of it by the end of that one. In case you didn't notice, we ended up sat in my little girl's Wendy house to escape the rain, having a fag after it for a while, which was a good laugh. Anyway, I'm going to end on an announcement. Last week I mentioned that it's my band's final gig, and that's going to be, I think this is going out Friday, so it's going to be Saturday the 25th, which will be straight after this goes out. Pretty sad day, but it should be a lot of fun anyway. It's the, if anyone's in Sheffield for the Tramlines Festival, like I say, we're playing it's a pub called the Shakespeare at 2 p.m. on the Saturday afternoon in Sheffield. So if you're around, hope you can make it. Should be a good do. We're going to go out with a bang. We're going to go down in a blaze of glory. And speaking of the band, like I also said, my friends James Bonsall, aka Terry, and Renee Dorset have been making a pretty kick-ass documentary about the band to kind of see us out of the world kind of thing. And caught it the other night. It was a really good watch. So that's going to be out soon. I'll keep you guys updated about that. And one thing they did was they kind of sent a mail out to anyone to send in video clips about the band. And now there was a couple at last year's gig called Brian and Jude, and it was nice to see they both started kind of dancing at the gig, even though they'd never seen us before, which was always like a really massive compliment. That's fantastic to see. And they were like really into it and really friendly afterwards. They chatted to us for a while. And anyway, we've got quite a long bit of video off Brian, all about the band, and it's quite sort of funny and surreal and quite nice to listen to. And there's a bit of it in the film. There's kind of a short excerpt of it, but I thought it'd be nice to put the whole thing on the podcast. And because it's quite trippy and surreal, I thought it'd be nice to put some ambient music under it. So thanks to Brian and thanks to Jude for this. And I'll see you guys next time, and hope you can make the gig. Cheers.
Friends of Batman. Well, you just look at the name. Look at the name, and straight away, you know you're dealing with heavyweights. Heavyweight musicians. Batman. Batman. It's a fine line between Batman. There's the genius. Okay, I don't think they might have been inspired by some obscure comic book character, but a lot of people have tried to walk that fine line throughout musical history. Think back to Jim Morrison, the Lizard King. He wasn't much of a king, really. He went that fucking oath with the head. And really, he wasn't very lizard-like either. And another animal king, Elvis. He was the Lion King. Just a king, really. The king. The king. And he's trying to walk the fine line between being a king, which he wasn't really, because even though he spent a lot of time on the throne, he was mainly shitting himself and eating burgers. It's not really king, though, is it? Although I do like to think of the royal family in that way. And it wasn't much of a the either. They were the ultimate the. They didn't walk a fine line because they were just the. Although in Yorkshire, they're just called the. Anyway, back to Friends of Batman. See, not only have they got this genius name, this Batman thing, so there's an animal element to them, which you need in rock and roll. So you know you're dealing with beasts, okay, little flying beasts that twitter a bit, but rock and roll animals. But also the friends of Batman. So as well as being a bit scared, you kind of, you know, you've got this visceral thrill of this Batman. Werewolf, the little tiny one. The friends of Batman, we're all friends of Batman, so we feel included, and maybe even think we're gonna turn into little bats ourselves. I know I often do. It's particularly exciting. Excuse me, I'm getting a bit dry.
What's that stein you've got there?
It's it's an antique stein, hands, well, made in some sort of production line factory in Germany in the 1970s.
What's it got to do with Friends of Batman?
Well, nothing really. I just thought it looked a bit rock and roll. Friends of Batman are what we all aspire to be, what all musicians aspire to be. Kurt Cobain, it was inspired by them, even though he was probably dead before they... I mean, he would have been inspired by them if they'd been around. I mean, the aforementioned Lizard King, as I say, he was trying to be friends of Batman even before he knew it. They've gone where he was trying to go. And they're from Sheffield. And they're middle-aged, with paunches. So we can all aspire to that. It could be me up there on that stage.
Okay, the one last thing to tag on, I forgot to mention that the Clench McVeigh's band are playing The Day This Goes Out, which is Friday the 24th of July. They're also playing Tramlines in Sheffield. The venue is the Shakespeare, which is where we're playing down in West Bar. And they're on at 7 p.m. Friday night, so go down and check them out. Okay, see you next time.